Tommy Gazzola. He loves a taco. Joins us now. Tommy, how you doing?
I actually wouldn't mind a couple of tacos at OTR, but I had fajitas for lunch, and I'm over the moon with this win that Italy had today, Greg.
Oh, jeez, I bet. Did you watch the entire match?
I watched via Twitter. I caught the highlights. I was getting text updates from everyone. I'm on the golf course in Sundry right now, and that's how I was getting the info. And every time I saw a highlight, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Penalty kicks, goaltending, magic, buddy. This is a team of destiny, I can tell you that much.
Well, it's kind of interesting that you've got your favorite teams playing and you choose to go golfing instead of watching your team play. Like, I think you're a fair weather friend, but you'll be there for the final, buddy, cheering like you've been cheering on the whole time. Disappointing.
Strutty, I'll be wearing a Kappa tracksuit, painted face. I'll even put on a fake Italian accent all day, and I'll be saying boppity boopy all day long. How does that sound?
Why not? Tommy, you watched Tampa Bay last night, and the more I dig deeper into expansion drafts and salary cap and everything, I think there's a chance that Ryan McDonagh might be exposed by Tampa Bay in the expansion draft. Now, that maybe Seattle takes him, but he's got 5 years at 6.75. Like, he's a legit defender. His offense the last few years has kind of gone by the wayside in Tampa. He's taking a lot more defensive zone starts, not getting any power play time. I think he could, if you needed him to up his offense again, he could. But I'm telling you, like, if the Oilers were interested in Duncan Keith, then they better be interested in Ryan McDonagh, because I think McDonagh might be available just based on salary cap problems for Tampa Bay. They're not going to be able to hide all their problems again next season like they did this year.
No, they won't be able to take advantage of the situation, a la the Kucherov thing. But McDonagh is still a serviceable D-man, and we've seen him this year with huge blocks, just steady play. That's a veteran presence. You know, we hear so much about up-and-coming young defensemen, and that's the poise that they don't possess. That's just knowing how to be in the moment, knowing how to alleviate pressure at the right time when it's on and you're getting caved in and poured on. And that's what veteran defensemen can do. And I think McDonagh's still capable of doing just that. The price tag is steep. I know you went into it a bit with the Oilers and defense possibilities, Greggs. But, yeah, I mean, again, if you're bringing it back to Edmonton, McDonagh at that price tag, I think that's still too much, though, right?
Well, for Edmonton, no.
Yeah.
He's a legit defender, man. Like, you can't just hope that, well, we need some good defensemen, but they all got to be cheap and perfect. Well, you know what? Those are rare to find. Like, why are teams aren't going to trade you those guys, right? Like, why would they trade you Cernak? Well, just because, right?
Right.
So, no, yeah. I don't think 6.75 is now, he doesn't add offense, although I think he could add more than he is. A lot of that just comes down to, not getting any power play time. But, man, I think Ryan McDonagh is a pretty good player. On a team that doesn't, like, you've got some young guys coming, but they're probably still a few years away before they're really playing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Broberg, give him a little bit of time. Obviously, Bouchard's probably going to be an everyday guy this year. Ethan Bear is still going through the process of development, even though he's certainly ahead of the curve compared to, like, a Caleb Jones. Who knows where Jones ends up? He still have another year left on his deal. But you're right. You don't want to be forcing guys. You do have to pay a price if you want something good in return. I can't get over that 6.75, guys. Like, that to me is still a bit of a barrier. I don't know if I want to go that deep.
Yeah. No, I guess I can understand that a little bit, maybe because of his age. Sure.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
some slight concerns there, but all I know is Edmonton's, you gotta improve the roster in a lot of places. And you can't just keep waiting and hoping. Like, they've got to try to improve the roster. Like, ideally, hey, if McDonagh had 3 years, then it'd be a lot easier. Sure, so that's fair.
Yeah.
But
right.
I'd at least make the call. Brady Shea, Jake Bean in Carolina, or Trocheck. Like, Carolina's a team that's gonna that might be exposing a lot of guys. Now, they only lose one, so maybe they'll just bite the bullet and not make any deals. And because they're like, hey, we'll be fine. But if you know, there's another team that I would consider that, you know, especially if they decide to protect four defensemen because they don't want to lose Dougie Hamilton and Brady Shea, for instance.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no but. It makes it pretty tough for them. And you might be, that's right, we're just going to take our medicine and move on. Joined by Tommy Gazzola for the Gazzola Chronicles. Tommy, Josh Anderson is big. He skates and he is scoring wise somewhat inconsistent. Is he the Montreal Canadiens version of the Zach Cassian here in Edmonton? And if so, do the Oilers need to be more patient? Or I guess, should the Oilers fan base be more patient with what Zach delivers and when he delivers it?
Oh, Strutty, I don't know if patience is the thing Oilers fans want to be doing with Zach Cassian especially. I mean, he's been an Oiler for what now, 5 years? He got a sweetheart contract, and his play has taken a dip. So I think Zach Cassian is Josh Anderson is a younger, more potential upside offensively, gritty power forward. Zach Cassian can be that, but Struz, I don't know, like, patience-wise, you just want Cassian to get back to playing the way he did two seasons ago when he was hungry for that contract. I think that's the ideal scenario there. It's nice to see Josh Anderson finally show up because at times this postseason he's been a bit of a ghost, and that was a hell of a play yesterday to save the season for the Habs, but I see the similarities. I know what you're getting at there. But I think that there's more upside with a guy like Josh Anderson. And Cassian, we kind of know what he can bring to the table, and it's generally up to him on specific days and games when he actually wants to bring it. So a little bit different. And yeah, I don't know where the patience is among the fan base towards Cassian, but I think they just, like we probably feel, you probably just want to see him playing the way he did a couple of seasons ago when he was playing for that contract that he did end up getting.
Well, I guess the point I'm trying to make here is he makes almost, you know, $2.3 million less than him. Yeah, he's right. A little bit older. But, like, he you know, Josh Anderson, he's been very physical. And, you know, they moved him on lines the other night to a bit more of a skilled line, I guess is fair to say. And he found a way to deliver in those moments. And, like, just having that guy there, like, I see the games. I know that sometimes he's not completely committed or it seems like he's not got that last gear. But when he does show up, there's something there. And I wonder if you just have to kind of just say, okay, we know he's not going to be perfect, but when he does show up, he does have an impact. Because you look at the Montreal Canadiens, different players have contributed over different points of the playoffs, right? You think of some of the overtime goals Anderson has, or Suzuki and Caulfield coming in and doing it. You know, Kukkiemi's had moments. There's been times where some D-men have scored goals. You think of the old line with Perry and Staal. So I think a team is built where everyone has to kind of contribute at different times. Yeah, you want your big guys to contribute, you know, as much as possible, but that's what I see from Montreal, and I know there's some people that want to move Cassian out. I'm just a little bit, I think that when you need him, he might just pop up, and then he might disappear again, but at least he's there, and he brings something they don't have, at least that I don't see in any other player on their team.
And that's where you're just like, okay, like, how do you find the way to motivate a guy like that? Like, Strutty, you played with, I don't know how many hundreds of players during your time in the NHL, but, like, some guys, they you have to find the right way to give them the kick in the pants, or if they don't respond well to the kick in the pants, it's got to be the arm around the shoulder. And I don't know if we're at that point where it's like, what gets Zach Cassian going? What makes him hungry? What makes him play physical, use his skill, fearless, intimidating, all those things? Because when he's dialed in like that, he's excellent. But it's just, how often does he actually have those games? It's been more missed than hit lately, and I think that's the key. So to me, it's like, how do you get Zach Cassian to be the Cassian that we watched a few years ago? I don't know what the answer to that is, though.
Well, you could say that about a lot of players, right? There's lots of guys who are inconsistent from year to year. Zach Cassian, he's a complimentary guy. At the end, at the best time, he's a complimentary player who can add some energy.
Right.
That, but here's the thing that people, like, all these people who just think that Yamamoto's a lock to be in your top six, I'm like, why? Right? Like, think about, like, Cassian's older, so everyone's like, well, he's older and he makes more money, so let's rip on him. Yamamoto scored, what, 4 goals in the last 40-some games?
Yeah.
And he played the top six the whole time. If Cassian had done that, people would have freaked out. Freaked out. Because Cassian, for a whole calendar year, contributed when he was in the top six. And then he didn't, right? And so they took him out of it. So I just kind of find it interesting how you'll see people say, well, I don't like the player's contract, so I'm automatically going to rip on him. But, oh, geez, the other guy I like, well, it's okay if he produces nothing. Like, give me a break, right? Like,
yeah.
We'll see what – I think Yamamoto on a good team is a third-line player. That's what I think. So
yeah, I'm with you.
We'll kind of see moving forward. But, you know what, like, there's lots of guys on the right side. Like, great season for Jesse Puljujärvi. Now let's see him do it again. Right, Cassian had one calendar year, and everybody just assumes that Puljujärvi's automatically going to do it. I think he has a better chance. He's younger, sure, but you know Yamamoto was not going to be the 26 points in 27 games that he was. Like, that's just unrealistic. So I think there's way too much focus on Cassian. That somehow Cassian's just killing the Oilers. Every team has a contract you don't like. Every team. But they need a lot of other guys. The guys who played in the top six this year, outside of Puljujärvi for 2.5 months, sucked as wingers with the two best centermen in the league. They sucked productively 5-on-5. That's a fact. Nugent Hopkins, Cahoon, Yamamoto, not good at all compared to who they played with. If Cassian had done that for 3 months, people would have been freaking out.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we did see some of that on the post-game show some nights where they were just laying into him, but most of those nights they were also laying into a few other players. That's just how it was on the bad nights, which is fine and understandable. The other thing, too, is, like, I'm not too worried about Yamamoto. I want to see how he handles things. I agree with you, Greg, though. What we witnessed from him 2 seasons ago where he was basically a point-of-game guy, I don't know how sustainable that is. He is still pretty young. He is still finding his legs at the NHL level. I'm not writing him off, though. But I agree, maybe you do insulate him a little bit and put him on the third line and take away some of the responsibility, let him gain some confidence back. Puljujärvi, I have confidence in him having another solid season, stepping it up, using his body. He knows what he can do at the NHL level now that he's a little bit more older and mature. And then, again, the wild card, what is Zach Cassian going to be this year? It's totally up to him. And on top of that, they've got flexibility. Like, when those guys are going, they're three pretty good right shot guys on the right wing. It's just a matter of finding that consistency. So if those three are going, I think you're looking at that going, yeah, that's pretty good on the right side. But when two out of three aren't doing anything, that's when you're in trouble.
Yeah, no, it's true. Very true. Tommy, quickly, who are you taking in the NBA final?
Let's go with the Suns, baby. Los Suns.